Welcome back to the Wild Adventures podcast. It is Merlaine. I'm back. So today we've got another lovely interview. All of these interviews are so lovely. I'm enjoying them so much. Today we're talking to Jen Lally, who is a very dear friend of mine. She has a hypnotherapy business where she focuses on solutions. So she looks forward, she doesn't look back, and she kind of takes you through a very scientific approach to hypnotherapy. So in today's podcast, you'll hear about her journey into hypnotherapy, where she started, where she's ended up, how she's become the stress bucket lady of Edinburgh. And then she helps us with some tips on how you can find a hypnotherapist that you can trust, if that is something you want to have a go at. And also busts a few hypnotherapy moves. Let's see if I'll be chucking like a chicken, clucking like a chicken by the end of this episode. Enjoy, guys. How about you?
Good, yeah, enjoying it. I'm gonna go and online full time now. I don't think I'm going to go back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Just loving it. And two, I don't know. I like it. I really like it.
Yeah.
So.
And you've not had any issues with clients like preferring to speak in person versus
online? No, not so far.
Wow.
Not so far. Because I'm saying it, look, if you want to see me, I am online. I'm just going to be online now. So if you want face to face, you're gonna have to wait for someone else.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm gonna go back face to face. I'm just gonna work from home.
Well, what a fantastic time for you to now let us know what it is that you actually do.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna try it. If I have to go back to face to face, I will. I'm adaptable.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna try it for a year.
Fantastic.
And see. And I'd prefer to so far.
That sounds really, really good.
Yeah. Because it's so easy, isn't it? I mean, come on, like, seeing each other
it's
now.
Very easy.
And like your therapy, are you having that over the phone or online as well?
All of mine is online. I've been using the app called BetterHelp.
Yeah.
And it's been really, really good. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a lifesaver.
Everyone wants something digital, virtual. You're in your own home, you know, so... I've had the argument, you know, people, some other therapists have said, oh, but, you know, not everybody has the space at home to do it or the privacy.
Yeah.
And I've just had to say, well, you know, I can't cater for everyone.
No, exactly.
So I'm going to cater for people, you know, like yourself, who do have the facility to do that from home or have supportive partners that want to help.
Yeah.
You know, that means I might not be able to deal with people with domestic abuse and that kind of thing. Mm. And actually... do I really want to?
Yeah, exactly.
As well. But there are therapists for them. So it's just about finding what works for you. You know, it's like there's so much you can give. You can't be everything to everybody, can you?
Exactly. And anyone that tries to capture everyone, I suppose, maybe they find it hard to capture anyone. But people will want to go to people that understand their needs and what they're looking for.
Yeah. So I'm going to try it, see what happens.
Amazing.
As well. But anyway, tell me, what are we doing today then? What's the plan?
I just want to hear about your journey into where you got to where you are.
Oh dear, how
boring.
I think
lots of people will want to know that.
Boring. Oh, no. Very boring.
Well, how about tell us about what your business looks like today in light of this new way of working online?
I never thought I'd love it as much as I'm loving it. Yeah. I always considered myself to be a people person, which I am.
Yeah.
You know, but I always thought that meant face to face. As long as my social life can get back. I mean, there was no choice in the beginning anyway.
Yeah.
So went straight over to that. I always had works online anyway, but I'd done a mixture of online and face to face. And even when I saw people locally, or even, you know, if they were from a further afield, they'll say, oh, I'll come and do one face-to-face.
Yeah.
And then I will go online.
Yeah.
If they're a little bit further afield. So they wanted at least something face-to-face to start off with. But now it's just purely, yeah, obviously online, and needs must. And it's just finding people who are also used to using it online. And people actually who weren't used to it before are used to it now, because we've all had to use it, haven't we? FaceTime and for our friends and family. So I think people are coming around to the idea you can do lots of things online.
Yeah.
You can do lots of things virtually. Yeah. So it's opened up a whole new area for me that, yeah, I mean, I, and if you told me a year ago I would just be working online from home, I would have said, oh no, I need to see people, I need to be around people. But no, I can do it. I can do it. But I do need to be around people in that I will balance it with the social.
So tell us, how has the service changed? Because you do hypnotherapy, which I mean, I saw you for hypnotherapy after we became friends. But how has it changed providing that service? Does it still feel the same for people? Is it the same process that you go through?
If anything, it's even better.
Okay.
Because people are in the comfort of their own home. So the effectiveness of the therapy as a whole is exactly the same as having it face to face.
Okay.
So effectiveness and success rate has been absolutely the same. That hasn't changed. And some aspects I think is actually even better, because, you know, part of my sessions are relaxation. And when I was doing that face to face, it was in the therapy center, and people were good at relaxing, so we had our own little room and it was fine. But now people are at home, so they can relax in the comfort of their own home, and I have some of my clients, they'll have their dog with them or their cat. They'll have a teddy bear. There are some of them even get in bed, right?
Excellent.
In bed in the duvet. And I have a few clients that fall asleep completely. So the only thing is that we have to just do safeguarding.
Okay.
If you fall asleep or if the connection goes, what does that mean? So all I get my clients to do is set an alarm. So if our session was going to finish in an hour, I'll say, just in case you fall asleep, but you won't. Set an alarm for an hour and 5 minutes or an hour and 15 for this session. The alarm will wake you up. But I have a couple of clients that specifically see me to fall asleep.
Wow.
And they'll say, no, Jen, I want an hour's nap. So when you're finished, just switch it off. And I switch it off. They're fast asleep. I switch it off this end. And I text them an hour later. Say, are you all right? And they said, yeah, I've just had the best nap. So, you know, but it makes me feel a bit weird. I've said to a couple of my clients, like, I'm just sitting here watching you sleep.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, they're snoring away, and they say, "Jen, it's you. I'm absolutely fine with you watching me sleep. No problem at all." But yeah, some people love it. They really specifically want it for getting a good nap or a good sleep.
Yeah,
because that is part of my therapy to look at sleep issues as well. Anyway, but yeah, absolutely working online.
Yeah,
brilliantly. I'm loving it.
So you haven't always been a hypnotherapist.
No.
So what was your life before hypnotherapy?
My life before hypnotherapy, I was an optometrist.
Mm-hmm.
So another ist, which is just a posh word for optician. So I had a very sort of classic education, you know, A-levels, university, professional exams, optician.
Mm-hmm.
That was me qualified. And I loved it. You know, don't get me wrong. Really, really enjoyed it. Had a really good career. I worked for myself for most of the time. I worked for some of the big corporates, and I worked in the hospital for the NHS. But I also freelanced the majority of my career, so I could work for whoever I wanted. So again, I worked for some corporates, some independent, smaller independent companies, and yeah, I really enjoyed that. So that's what I did before this, and that's where the whole sort of medical science and biology and anatomy just fascinated me right from the beginning. So I've always done that. And the eyes are obviously an extension of the brain. So I just went a little bit deeper into the brain. That's all.
So what was that turning point for you when you went, right, this is what I want to go for now. Hypnotherapy is where it's at.
No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like hypnotherapy is where it at, where it's at. I wish it'd been as easy as that. So being an optometrist, you have to talk to people about their general health. And one thing I noticed is everyone was, well, a lot of people were very sick. Mm-hmm. So type 2 diabetes, heart disease, a lot of young people on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. Mm-hmm. So this was just getting more and more prevalent. So I knew the names of all the medications, mm-hmm. or all the antidepressants, all the diabetic medications and all the heart disease medications.
Yeah.
And once you get talking to people, everybody's got a story, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone you know has got a story.
Yep.
And so my clinic used to fall behind because I love people's stories. I love a story. So I would listen to people's stories, and all their stories began in stress. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, stress this, stress that, a bereavement, a family issue. You know, people would tell me, you know, quite personal stuff, but especially if I saw people, you know, once a year, you build up a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, with people, and you love to see them again, and you ask after them and their family, and often you see their whole family.
Yeah.
And you get to know them. And we started as optometrists talking to people about looking after themselves through diet, mm-hmm. because that can affect your eyes. So type 2 diabetes can affect your eyes. Mm-hmm. People often don't know, but it's one of the major causes of blindness in the working population in the UK. So people were coming along being diagnosed diabetic, but not really taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And I was sort of saying, you know, this is going to be a problem for you. So how did this start? Why are you relatively young and you've developed type 2 diabetes? And their story began in stress. Mm-hmm. So that started to get me down a little bit in that, well, I'm just at this end trying to tell people that, look, your vision is going because of diabetes, or, you know, something's going on here with your vision. I'm going to have to refer you. Mm. to a consultant. But why don't we get to the origins of it? Stress, like, what? Because everybody's had an issue, right? Mm. So don't get me wrong, I did also see very healthy people often, so very healthy people, but they also had a story, and often their stories were stressful too. Mm. So everybody's had something. Everybody's had a bereavement. There's no one listening to this podcast now that hasn't had a bereavement or a financial issue or a career problem,
yeah.
or a family issue, some sort of stress.
Yeah.
Some people cope and some people don't, right?
Yeah.
So what is that all about? So combine that with a combination of, then I was sort of felt like I got everything I wanted out of optometry. It started to get quite target driven and sales driven, and that isn't originally what I went into it for. Mm. And just to have a lifestyle change as well. So I took a huge career break. And when I came back to the UK, I thought, I don't want to go back into optometry.
Yeah.
But I want to look at this stress stuff, you know. So I'd studied some nutrition, and that was really interesting. But a part of that was also around psychology. Mm-hmm. Because, come on, everyone knows, don't they, that don't eat McDonald's, eat more fruit and veg.
Exactly. Right? Well, you'd think so, at least.
You'd think, you know, or... there's enough information out there to tell you that, but people still don't do it. Okay. So what is it? It's all in. So it just led me to, it's all in the head.
Yeah.
It's in the brain. What is going on? People can't take control. So I studied a lot. I did a lot of research and lots of different counselings and therapies, and, you know, so I didn't say I went out and looked for hypnotherapy. And I didn't even know what it was at the time. Mm-hmm. So after looking at all my options and doing a lot of research, I came across solution-focused therapy. Mm-hmm. And so solution-focused therapy is a combination of techniques. Mm. And the main principle that I liked behind it was that it was very forward-looking. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about going over your problems of the past.
Yeah.
It was about moving forward. So using a combination of talking therapy, looking at the brain and how it functions, and educating people on brain science, mm-hmm. and some relaxation techniques based in hypnotherapy, the combination of those things is what was sort of, as I researched at that time, that is what was going to create change in people. Mm-hmm. And so it ticked all my boxes. You know, it was science based, it was forward looking, it wasn't about going over your problems, and it was all about sleep.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's my story of how I found it. Well, it found, shall I say,
it found me. You. Yeah, it found you.
I think it did.
So in Edinburgh circles and probably further afield, you have become known as the stress bucket lady.
Yeah, I'm stress bucket girl in Edinburgh. And everyone talks to me about stress bucket, and yep. even if I've had people afterwards, you know, if people stop talking about stress buckets, I've had people I've never met and said, try and introduce them to me and yeah. say themselves to me and say, oh, your stress bucket. Why is everyone going on about the stress bucket? Why? Why is everyone talking about stress buckets, Jane?
So in the show notes, I am going to link to your podcast because yes. you started a podcast as well.
Recently, yes.
And you've explained stress buckets and your speeches there as well, haven't you?
So it's a metaphor. You've got to love a metaphor, right?
Love a metaphor.
Marlene, yeah. Metaphors make science easy to understand.
And that was what was so fascinating about you, because I'm sure I've told you this already, but when it came to hypnotherapy, it wasn't necessarily something that I wouldn't say not believed in, but there's always this fear around being told something like how to cluck like a chicken. And whenever someone says something, you'll cluck like a chicken. So there's always this part of you like, is it really something I want to do? But the way that you explained it, you went into the science and the way that the brain thinks, and you just created this real element of trust that someone could come to you for help and not walk away with some kind of thing that they don't understand happening.
Some tick or something.
Exactly.
That's exactly. And originally that's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Marlene as well. Like it is, because, but what you're talking about there about clucking like a chicken is stage hypnotism.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's hypnotizing someone.
Yeah.
I don't hypnotize people.
No, you don't.
Now, if I could, believe me, I would hypnotize my husband to help around the house a lot more than he does. And I would be ruling the world if I could get people to do what I said.
So how would you explain hypnotherapy to someone that would see it as stage hypnotist? Or that's the perception have of hypnotherapy. How would you explain
it? Break down the word first of all. Hypno comes from the Greek hypnos, which is sleep. Mm-hmm. And therapy is a therapeutic technique. Mm-hmm. So it's a form of sleep. And you know that sleep just before you go into a deep sleep, that little halfway house that you're at.
Yeah.
Just that lovely place. It's trying to hold you there.
Okay.
Now, that state, when you go into that state, is really, really powerful. Mm-hmm. It's very organic. Many people have gone into that state all the time without realizing. Mm-hmm. For example, have you ever driven somewhere and forgotten how you got there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever watched a good film or read a good book and 3 hours have gone past and you don't know how that happened?
Almost every day.
Yeah. You know that daydream state?
Well,
that's what it is.
I blame TikTok these days.
Oh, yeah. You can get totally wrapped up. Exactly it. Yeah. So you're just obsessed with TikTok, but you can't hear the radio in the background, right? Your focus has gone off that, hasn't it?
Yeah, you become completely... that's reading. For me, that's reading. Someone can talk to me or shout and I'll be so engrossed.
You're ignoring them. Because you're so focused on one thing.
Yeah.
That book that you're reading, which is so engrossing. Now the thing is, if the fire alarm went off, right, that would get your attention, right?
Probably
Yeah, because that's danger.
Yeah,
but if you're fairly relaxed and you know someone's talking to you, you're really not thinking, concentrating on what they're saying, you're in another place. Mm-hmm. And you're so focused on one thing that your mind, you know, and that's what meditation is, right? Mm-hmm. Focusing on one thing.
Yeah,
so it's a form of meditation or mindfulness, or there's many fancy words for it, but it's all the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's just about making sure your brain is in the right place, mm-hmm. the right state. And when that happens, it can empty your stress bucket.
Love the stress bucket. Love the stress bucket.
Everyone loves a bit of stress bucket.
So do you want to explain the stress bucket to people that are listening? Give them a bit of a preview as to why they should go and listen to your podcast and learn even more about stress buckets.
The stress bucket is a metaphor for part of the brain where we store stress. Mm-hmm. Now, we put something in this stress bucket every day.
Yeah.
So all the time. So I don't want to be late for this thing. I've got this project I need to finish. Oh, what am I going to feed the kids tonight? And mm-hmm. there's no shopping in. And these are normal stresses that will go in that stress bucket. But what can happen is over time, you can start to pile too much into that stress bucket. Mm-hmm. So lots of negative thoughts can just get piled on top of each other. What we really want to do is empty that stress bucket every night in our sleep so that we wake up in the morning with an empty stress bucket. Mm-hmm. And during the day, we will naturally fill it with negative thoughts, but the cycle the following night begins again when mm-hmm. we empty it. Yeah. Now we get into a problem when we start to pile too much into there. And that can happen over months and years even. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't happen in one day or not even, you know, a few days. It takes time.
Yeah.
And once we start to have this overwhelming feeling of anxiety and stress and depression and panic attacks and obsessional thoughts, this is a sign that you've got too much in your stress bucket now. Mm-hmm. Because too much in the stress bucket just fuels that fight or flight response.
Yeah.
So you're fueling those negative thoughts even more and you end up in a vicious circle. So the stress bucket is just a metaphor for how your brain is functioning.
Yeah.
But it makes it, like I said, makes science easy to understand if we can talk about buckets rather than using big anatomical words. Mm. Because you just want to know what you can do.
Yeah.
To empty the stress bucket, you don't want to know the brain science behind it all.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that really made you stick out in the, at least in Edinburgh, is the fact that you do talk about the science and you make it very easy for people to understand something that might be considered as quote unquote fluffy. But you've made it very, very structured and very easy for people to understand. And if I'm not mistaken, you've got a lot of men that come to you as well. And I, at least for me personally, the reason why I prefer to come to you is because you did have that scientific approach to stress and how to handle stress.
It's really good to hear you say that. Thanks, Marlene, because that is my approach. And that, I couldn't go into this if I didn't know the science. So I looked at many courses, and you know, when I started looking at hypnotherapy sort of stuff, there were other courses, you know, just a little bit too, like you say, fluffy around the edges. So I you know, I'm not, and even when I remember my dad telling me, oh, you should do yoga, you should meditate, and I'm like, okay, what's the science behind that? I wanted to know. Don't tell me just to do that thing, but why is it useful? And I really believe that once, well, as a, me as a personality, once I understand the science behind it, I'm more convinced. I want to know, okay, so what is the process going on here? So I do want to stand out as someone who can give you that scientific backing of why this is working. But also it's enjoyable as well. So, you know, we're not going to get bogged down in the science, but there is something going on here. But yeah, I can't, you know me, Marlene, I can't do fluffy. Soft around the edges.
And I mean, you and I have discussed spirituality, religion, yoga, meditation, all of that. But I think for you and I, we've kind of separated that aspect of therapy and healing to the science perspective of it. And that's something that I found very intriguing with you, is that you do have a spiritual religious side, but you don't really take that into account when it comes to dealing with people one-on-one, which I think is fantastic, because that that does open you up to be able to speak to a much wider audience. Because you do get people that go in and it's a bit more focused around a specific way of working or a specific mindset. Which is great, because they will capture those people as well, and the people that want to have that. But with you, it was very, you know, science is one thing, religion and all of that is another thing. And I really liked that.
I mean, there is a place for being a little bit fluffy around the edges, and it's to do with your personalities. So you're right. I do tend to, my clients are attracted to me because they are a similar way of thinking as me. So they like the science, they like the facts. And the moving forward as well. So we know we're not talking about feelings all the time. If we are talking about feelings, they're the positive ones. But also sort of my spiritual and religious side is quite practical as well. So, you know, that comes from you know, a faith that is very much based in practicality and everyday living. You don't have to have rituals. You don't have to have procedures to do things. Your religion should just be part of your life and the way that you live. Yeah. And that's what your religion is, a way of life.
Yeah.
You know, without any binding restrictions that are suffocating you. So it sits really well with, you know, and if people do want to talk about that, I will. As a therapist, you tend to stay quite private, and it's all about my client when we have sessions. But you know, my as you put it, spiritual and religious side is actually quite pragmatic as well. So it all tends to sit nicely together.
Yeah. And the other thing that I really liked or like about your approach is that you always say, right, we're looking forward. So when I came to you, it was to help with the chronic fatigue. And you did actually help me get over that hump that I was in, where I was finding it very difficult to cope with chronic fatigue because of the stress. It was like a never-ending circle. Stress made it worse, and which caused stress, yada, yada, yada. And you helped me break through that. But then you and I have had discussions after that going, okay, well, what else needs to be looked at? And you straight away was like, right, so you might need talking therapy, but I'm not your person. So this is another way to go. But I like that you're so, you're very clear on, right, we are looking forward. And if you're not a person that wants to focus on how to be proactive and move forward, I'm not the person for you.
Well, a good friend of mine in Edinburgh has dubbed me the therapist that doesn't want to hear your problems. I'm the therapist that doesn't, I don't need to hear your problems is who I am. And it's true. I mean, it sounds weird, right? But yeah, honestly, I don't want to hear your problems. I want to hear what you're going to do about it instead.
Exactly.
You know, so it sounds strange, but I think therapy needs to get modernized.
Yeah.
I think we need to have a more modern approach to therapy now.
Yeah.
So traditional forms of therapy, aren't they, very much about where has that come from? What is the cause of that? What happened in your past?
Yeah.
Now, there is a place for that. I'm not knocking it.
Yeah.
Okay. There is definitely a place for that. And if that's what you need to do, you'll know as a person that you want to or need to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, and that's exactly when I talk initially to someone, that's what I'm trying to figure out. That if they want that approach, I'm very clear. I'll say, look, I won't do that. I'm very much about, I appreciate your past. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to ignore it. I appreciate you have a past.
Yeah.
Okay. Certain things have got you to the point that you are now. But what do you want to do moving forward?
Exactly.
What does better look like to you?
Yeah.
So even when someone says to me, well, oh, Jin, I don't want to feel anxious. I don't want to feel depressed. I'll say, well, what do you want to feel instead?
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about anxiety and depression. Talk to me about
positive.
What you want,
yeah.
Not what you don't want. Because that's the way the mind works. Again, it's the way the brain is set up. So for example, if I told you now, Marlene, don't think about a green bus.
First thing that happens.
What do you think? What are you thinking about?
Green buses.
Oh, there you go. So if someone said, I don't want to feel anxious, I don't want to have panic attacks.
Yeah.
You're thinking of anxiety and panic attacks, okay?
Yeah.
Which is probably what you've been thinking of for years if you've suffered from them.
Exactly, yeah.
But nobody ever asks me, people, well, what do you want to feel instead? So what I want to hear is, I want to feel happy, Jane. I want to feel calm. I want to feel focused. I want to feel motivated. Well, what will that look like? Let's nudge your mind in that direction.
Yeah.
So it's about nudging it to a much more positive space as far as I see it. And also as a person, that's how I am, you know, and it comes with its downfalls in that it can be sometimes that, you know, I've got friends and family will say I'm not sort of listening to them. But if I've heard the problem once, I've heard it 100 times.
Yeah.
So, you know, once or twice, yeah, I do, you know, God, this is awful. This situation you've been through is terrible. I can give you, I'm an empathetic person. Now, if I've heard it 100 times, I can't hear it anymore.
My dad always used to, he brought us up by saying, don't come to me with a problem, come to me with a solution.
Oh, yeah, great. Oh, I love your dad.
And then that's how we always grew up. It was like he didn't want to hear about why this, that, and the other was crap. He was like, it might be crap, but what are you going to do about it? How are you going to fix
exactly.
it? He says, not until you've got the mindset of coming to me with a solution am I actually going to help you figure out what to do.
Yeah. And actually, you can't help yourself until you go with that mindset.
Yeah, quite right.
So, you know, if you need to wallow. Yeah. I'll always say that. Look, if you need to do that, and you do, you need some time to wallow in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that can't go on for years.
I give myself like 2 days. I'm like, okay, you're allowed two days.
Wow, great.
Absolute pity party. And then you've got to get over it.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it might creep back up again in 6 months. You might have another couple of days of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's everybody has good days and bad days.
Mm.
But the key is to have more good days than bad days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're allowed to have a bad day. You're allowed to get angry about something. You can get anxious about something. You can feel sad about something. But to now let it take over your life for 6 months or longer, often.
That's when it's bad.
It's going to affect you. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your career. You know, that's where, you know, I want people to understand that there are other ways.
Yeah.
And I think people shy away from therapy.
Yeah.
You know, because it's had a bit of a bad rap sometimes over and picking, that unpicking of everything.
Yeah. I think for me, and I've been very vocal about it this year, is the fact that I did start going to therapy. I mean, you were one of the first people I wrote to when I was really down in the dumps and I went, Jen, I need help. Mm. I don't know what to do. But actually, it was having the support of other people around me that I knew had been to therapy or did suffer from anxiety. I had friends that were going through the same thing. So the fact that we could all talk about therapy together, it took away that mysticism or what's the word? The negative connotations with being someone that needs to go to therapy.
And
it's become a very, well, now, obviously, now you sit there and you go, everyone needs therapy. Everyone needs to talk about
something.
Doesn't
everyone say that? Yeah. Everyone says that. Yeah.
But you do. You're like, everyone's got trauma. Everyone's got something they need to figure out.
Yeah.
But what I find really interesting is now with the friends that have been to therapy, no longer do we try fix each other's problems. Yes. We've realized the value in just sitting there and listening.
Yes. Yeah. It's huge value in that. It's definitely,
it's amazing. Yeah. And how much you stop putting onto yourself as well by trying to fix someone else's problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't. And actually you can't, I always say, I'm not going to fix your problems. It's going to come from you.
Yeah.
You know, all I'm going to do is get your, and I think therapists will say that, as other therapists of different modalities would say that as well, that we're just going to give you the space for you to come to your own conclusion.
Exactly.
You know, I can't fix your problems. Only you can.
Mm.
Because, you know, I don't even know what the problem is, even if we talked about it, because you're so much in your own head.
Yeah.
But you need to come out of that and start doing what's right for you.
Yeah.
And what works for one person doesn't work for the next. There's no formula here.
Exactly.
But so it's just giving you the space.
There's no formula. However, there is relationships, right? So one of the questions I was going to ask you, and I pre-warned you about this, is how do you pick a hypnotherapist? And let's extend this to a therapist in general as well, that you can find that trust for. What would be your advice on how to find someone that you can open up to and have those discussions with?
Go for a recommendation, first of all. So I'll ask your a good friend who will be very open to talk to you about it. Someone maybe with a similar personality to you, to, you know, because then you'll know, my friend Marlene, we're very similar. She really gets on with her therapist, so I think I probably will as well.
Yeah.
And also, I've seen her improvement.
Yeah.
Seen how well she's doing. So I want to see that therapist, because obviously she raves about her, for example. So that's one way to do it. The other thing to do is to talk to any therapist. First of all, research. Someone said once, like, if it's very difficult these days to make a bad buying decision, Google has got everything out there for you.
Yep, that's okay? Very true.
So websites, research the words, research the therapies, you know, start reading. Mm-hmm. What would suit me as a therapy? Start narrowing that down into what therapist would suit you.
Mm-hmm.
Testimonials are a really good one. So if you can't have a personal recommendation, you're then going to have to do a bit of research.
Yeah.
But look at the modality. The next step after that is get in touch with that therapist, whether that's via email or phone, and talk to them. Any therapist is happy to talk to you free of charge, first of all.
Yeah.
We're not going to tie you into therapy, but it begins with a conversation.
Yeah.
And I've had so many conversations with people just explaining what I do, answering their questions. Mm-hmm. And also what I'm doing is I'm making sure that they're suitable for solution focused work.
Yeah.
Would I get on with it?
Yeah.
You know, are they my kind of person? Yeah. So they can hear my voice. They can, you know, when we were meeting in person, we can meet up in person or now, you know, virtually on Zoom. Mm-hmm. But it's about asking those questions and then go away and think about mm-hmm. it as well. But it, yeah, it's you'll get a gut feeling. It's like any buying decision. Mm. Yeah. That who do I need to see? What modality is this? And talk to a few different therapists. Don't just talk to one.
Yeah.
Talk to a few. Do a little pros and cons list. You know, find out what works for you. Make sure your therapist is registered with appropriate bodies mm-hmm. as well and insured. If you know, really want that kind of reassurance. But I think there's nothing better than a personal recommendation. I know yeah. if I wanted something that personal, I would be speaking to a friend. Or do you know, is there someone you could recommend to me in this field?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm having this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not as easy as just Googling or, you know, looking someone up and putting a pin in a page and saying, right, that's the therapist I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
But every therapist I know is happy to have an initial chat with you.
Yeah.
To go away and have a think about whether it will work for you or not.
Yeah. So let's turn our mind to people looking at some of the myths around hypnotherapy and mm-hmm. seeing which ones we can kind of debunk a bit. So anyone that wants to have a go or maybe doesn't have people they can talk to, let's see what type of things we can answer there. So what are some of the myths that you've heard and how do you debunk them and tell the truth around them?
Oh, well, the clucking like a chicken one is the biggest one. We've handled that, yeah. Will it last? Will it have an ongoing effect on me?
Yeah.
How will I do it? Can I do it myself? There's so many questions around it. Yeah, it is going back to what we talked about. It's that deep form of relaxation. Mm-hmm. It's about learning how to sleep again, learning how to nap, just having that lovely place that you go to. If anyone does yoga, they'll know at the end of yoga, you lie down, you relax, and you go into a pose called Savasana.
Yeah.
And it's only for 2 or 3 minutes, but we're going to do that for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And in that 20 minutes, your mind's going to wander. It is. Guess where it's going to wander to? Oh, right. What is Jim going on about now? What am I going to have for dinner tonight? Oh, I've got that project to finish for work tomorrow. That's quite normal.
Yeah.
I always say to my client, allow that to happen. Your mind is going to wander. When I see people doing mindfulness and meditation, I'm trying to teach it and say, okay, just focus on one thing. Mm. You know how difficult that is?
So hard. It took years of practice.
You can't, and I don't want people to be in therapy for years.
Yep.
Yeah. So you cannot focus on one thing because the mind is not designed that way.
Yeah.
It you can eventually, but Buddhist monks go on 13-year retreats to learn how to do it. If you've got 13 years that you can give up to go and learn in the Himalayas somewhere how to do that, good luck to you. I have not got that time. So it's about just getting some focus.
Yeah.
And that's what hypnotherapy is. It's sleep. Yes, you do lie down. There's many different forms of hypnotherapy. So there are hypnotherapies that you can do regression, mm-hmm. Past life. You can actually be hypnotized for a certain behavior. Yeah, so that is possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is there, but it's not what I do.
Yeah.
So mine is a form of deep relaxation. What happens in that deep relaxation is that your conscious mind is so relaxed. Mm-hmm. That your subconscious mind starts to open up. Mm-hmm. Now, if you imagine after 10, 15 minutes, you're so relaxed, your subconscious mind is starting to open up and you're starting to now, without even realizing, come to some conclusions about how you want to feel better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'm still talking to you at that point and keeping you relaxed. But if at that point I started talking about something that bothered you, mm-hmm. like, okay, so Marlene, now you're perfectly relaxed. You're not going to feel anxious anymore. Mm. What would happen? You would immediately say, oh, right, what's Jim talking about?
Yeah.
And would immediately become alert again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the hypnotherapy I do, it's indirect and it's suggestive.
Okay.
So when you're deeply relaxed, all I will talk to you about is it's kind of positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. You're feeling calm and confident and strong. You will be able to cope. Mm. You've put the past behind you and you're now looking to the future. Now, your subconscious will interpret that in its own way.
Okay.
Everyone's different.
Yeah.
But if I started getting a little bit specific, Marlene, about some past trauma that had happened in your life, and I say to you, right, Marlene, I want you to forget about that past trauma now. What are you going to start thinking about? One, you'll start thinking about that past trauma. Two, you're not going to be very relaxed. And three, you are not in a nice hypnotherapeutic state, if that's a word. And I have just undone all the work we've probably done. So I don't. So there's some of the myths around it. But you know, there's different forms of hypnotherapy. So there are therapies where you can have more direct suggestion. And direct instruction, and there is also past life regression, those kind of things. So there's different forms of hypnotherapy, and again, you know, something you need to research, you know, what appeals to you.
Excellent. So last thing I wanted to ask you about is your podcast.
Oh my, well, you can already tell I love person. So why on earth I didn't do a podcast sooner?
I know.
Because I'm just sitting there with my mic on, like talking away and just, you know, doing that. But it's something I wanted to do for ages because I've got a lot to say.
Yeah.
Surprise.
A lot of knowledge to share.
Well, yeah. I said, I like how you turned that around. I said a lot to say. You said a lot of knowledge to share. And so what I'm trying to do is just give people little points to think about.
Okay.
And the easiest way to do that is with my voice. Mm-hmm. So instead of writing it or typing it or putting it out on social media, I feel I can fit a lot more in 10 minutes of talking than I can in 10 minutes of writing.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I can go off on tangents, which I love to do often. And I like to, you know, just, and I like to talk about something that's current. So at the moment there's a lot of lockdown talk on my podcast. And how to cope with that.
Yep.
And if just something comes up in the news or the media that, you know, we want to talk about. So again, so my podcast, that each episode is 10-12 minutes.
Okay.
So it's once a week.
Yep.
It's called Stress Bucket Solutions. You like that?
I love it.
Stress Bucket Solutions. And it is about, you know, making just 10 minutes time. I want people to start thinking about their brain.
Yeah.
I want people to start thinking about what is going on in my head and I need to understand this.
Yeah.
So it is, I try to be informative and educational in it and just give you what I've called brain bites.
Yeah.
Little bite-sized pieces of things to, you will slowly start to put the jigsaw together and say, right, that's where that thought is coming from.
Yeah.
And that's where that thought is coming from. But yeah, it's available on iTunes and Spotify.
Excellent. I've even found it on Apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on Google Podcasts as well and Breaker. The platform I use just puts it out on all of them.
Excellent. So it can be found wherever you guys are listening to podcasts, wherever you're listening to this, you can find it for gins as well.
Yeah.
Stress Bucket Solutions.
That's it. So I've been loving doing it, and I'm always looking if anybody's got any ideas of what they want me to talk about.
Yep.
Please let me know, because you know I need ideas for more ones, and I want to keep it relevant.
Yeah.
As well. So, but all the way through, I'm trying to give little snippets of information of what I teach my clients, and I'm going to try and do more examples and case studies and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To make it interesting, because the difference I've seen in people who have followed my therapy has been absolutely phenomenal. It's so rewarding. You know, people who have had panic attacks for years or PTSD, or I've seen more and more people with chronic fatigue syndrome as well, Marlene, as well. So it's just been
There's brilliant. So many of us out there as well.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, this is something I would go, and I'm learning all about it. I'm learning more and more about it as well as I speak to my clients about it more and more. But seeing the change in them. Just fabulous. So if I can reach more people with a podcast, that makes me feel good. You know, if there's one person sitting there listening to a podcast and I never hear from them, they don't have to get in touch with me, but I'm helping them just with these little snippets of information that will make them think and refocus, then that'll make me really happy.
I know how you feel.
To my podcast, I'm happy. That's all I want.
That's what I've gone into now as well. It's just if I just change one person's life or make one person feel like they're not alone in the world, then it's all worth it.
And it's such a good use of time to sit and do a podcast. I mean, going back to what I said earlier, everyone's got a story.
Yeah.
So if you've got a story to share, you know, you can just do, and it's so easy to do some of the podcast software you can get, and it's on your laptop or even on your phone.
Yeah.
And you can just put it out there, and it can be quite therapeutic and cathartic as well to do that. But there'll be someone wanting to listen to what you have to say.
Exactly.
There
always is. Oh, this has been so much fun, Jen. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
Great.
It's been really good to catch up again.
Thank you for asking me.
My pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, I hope you have a fantastic weekend now, the rest of the weekend. And we'll catch up soon. And once all of this is over, let's go back to Wagamama's and have a nice dinner.
Yes, definitely. It's all about the food with us, isn't it?
All about the food.
All about the food.
And that was Jen Lally, guys, my resident hypnotherapist. I hope you guys learned lots in that episode. If you want to get in touch with Jen, then check out the show notes. You will see links to her website and all of her social media pages. Also, make sure to follow her podcast wherever you are listening to podcasts today. If you enjoyed that episode, then please write a review and rate it wherever it is that you are listening to podcasts right now. If you have a story to share, then make sure to connect either by writing to me at marlene@thewanderingwildling.co.uk or visiting one of the social media pages. So you can go to Patreon or Facebook, Instagram. We've got Redbubble set up now as well with some merch, but that will be growing little by little as and when I get the inspiration and when my muses give me ideas on what to put up there. If there's anything that you would like to see on either Patreon or Redbubble, please give me a shout and let me know. Otherwise, I hope you all have a fantastic weekend yet again, and you leave this with a smile on your face. Thanks, guys. Bye.